And we welcome you to the Friday Morning Show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. Today is the monthly visit of Kaylin Palomares. And this is maybe the last time I'll frame it this way, but just for the sake of anybody who's just catching on to the news, Kaylin is, in a sense, the new Nan Calvert. Nan Calvert, for many years, arranged for a monthly morning show that would be devoted to some topic related to the environment. And Nan wanted to hand that off to somebody else and actually sought out Kaylin Palomares, who very happily agreed to do this. And so we appreciate what Kaylin has done thus far. And I also want to mention right off the bat that Kaylin at the outset was on the staff at Hawthorne Hollow, but I think it might be since your last visit to the morning show that you actually have taken a different position. If you don't mind, can we just spend a minute or two talking about this big change in your life?
Sure, yeah. So I decided to take a job with Racine County. So I'm working under the Land and Water Conservation Department as a conservation planner. So it's a mouthful, just like Hawthorne Hollow Nature Sanctuary and Arboretum is also a mouthful. But It's a very new type of position. It's a very new world for me, but I'm really enjoying it so far. And Hawthorne Hollow is still very much part of my life, so I'm not disappeared from there in any means. So.
Right, I imagine. So I have someplace written down your exact position. I think you probably just said it. You are a conservation planner.
Yes.
Can you just, in a nutshell, explain what that kind of work involves?
Absolutely. So, mind you, it's been only 3 weeks, so I'm still figuring it out. But a big majority of it is we're working mostly in the western part of the county, mostly because the eastern side, the larger towns, they have their own people for this sort of thing. So I'm working out in Rochester and Waterford and Tishigan and places like that, mostly along the Fox River. And I'm doing shoreline reviews, essentially. So if there's a homeowner that has a shoreline along the Fox River, for example, and they want to put up a shed, well, there are things that need to be looked at before you can just go start building right along a body of water, or even within a wetland area or a floodplain and all of those things. So I'm going and checking those out and coming up with sort of plans for these people so that they don't mess up the entire river, and so that they don't end up with a bunch of sediment and other garbage into the river, things like that. So
right.
That's a big part of it, but there's a lot of moving parts. So I'll be doing a little bit of education. I'm hoping to push a little bit harder on invasive species because that's something that's being missed a little bit. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Fascinating work, I should think. And it reminds me as well that WGTD signal penetrates nicely into the western part of the county and into Walworth County, as a matter of mm-hmm. fact. And that's one of the things we're anxious to do, is to continue to expand the topics that we talk about. So, and maybe you can be a part of that at some point. The topic today, however, is very much centered in the city of Racine, and it is centered around a well-known landmark, specifically the Horlick Dam. And we have two guests with us in the studios today to help be part of this conversation about the so-called Horlick Dam project, the removal of the Horlick Dam, which is going to be occurring in the relatively near future. Why don't you explain why we have these two gentlemen with us today?
Sure. So in front of me, I have Dave Giordano, who is the executive director at Rupike Watershed Initiative Network, or Rupike WIN. And I also have Monty Osterman, who is the chair of the Wisconsin Land and Water for the Racine County and for the state. I'm still getting to know Monty, so I apologize. But these two are in front of me because these two are a very big part of the Horlick Dam project and kind of getting things going. So they kind of have the best insight about this sort of project.
Very good. And although I said this is something that's very much happening within the city of Racine, Is this under more the jurisdiction of Racine County or more the city of Racine?
It is a little bit under the county, but not as much as most people would think. It is happening within the city, and so it's my understanding that it's I don't know. I don't have anything to do with it per se. So, but I think these guys could probably explain a little further who's all involved. I'm not sure.
Very good. That's great. And of course, this is something which has generated quite a lot of discussion and a few concerns, of course, as well. And we will touch on every aspect that we possibly can in the time that that we have available. So Dave Giordano from Root Pike Wynn, we welcome you back to the morning show. Good to have you here.
Good morning. Great to be here, as always.
And Monty Osterman, chair of the Racine County Land and Water Conservation Association, as well as its statewide counterpart, we welcome you as well.
Thank you. Good to be here again, Greg.
So maybe one of the things we could talk about is the Horlick Dam kind of from a more historical perspective. This is something that I know has been there for a while. My wife, who is a Racine native, remembers the Horlick Dam back in the days when there was actually a mill that turned. So it's been around for a while, but I think even those of us who drive past it literally hundreds, if not thousands of times, probably know next to nothing about its history. Looks like Monty's going to take this.
Yeah, so it's interesting, the perspective that the dam is been there forever. It has, and in a way it hasn't, oddly enough. I mean, that Horlick Dam was built by Horlick, you know, for power for their malted plant. And that was, gosh, back in the 1800s. It was a wood dam, and originally located downstream from where it is now. And that dam actually fell apart over the century. Until the early 1970s, there was nothing left of that dam. But the DNR ordered the dam rebuilt. So in 1975, the rebuild was completed. Racine County owned the dam by that time. By Wisconsin statute, counties take over the ownership of dams when they're abandoned or decommissioned. So Racine County has had that dam, you know, forever, and in 1975 bore the cost of rebuilding that dam. So the structure that you see there, that big concrete behemoth, is not the original historical perception of the structure. It is there from 1975, which is in, you know, in our lifetimes.
Right, and it's in a different place than the original dam.
Correct.
So it's not just a newer form of that. It's really a completely different dam.
That is correct. It is a completely different dam.
Wow. Now, I'm going to sound ridiculously naive and ignorant when I pose this next question, but I think it's important, especially for those of us who are city slickers who've had literal no reason to know about this, what exactly is a dam? I mean, what does it have to be in order to qualify to be a dam?
Well, that's a really good question. one I was not prepared for. But I guess I just look at it from a simplistic standpoint in that it's anything that really impedes the flow of water for a specific purpose. And in the case of the Horlick Dam, the original, it was to power a dam. In 1975, like Monty had mentioned, it was rebuilt more out of muscle memory than for a specific purpose. The dam, as it currently stands right now, its purpose really is from a recreational standpoint, where you have a group of kayakers and some fishermen that enjoy the impoundment. You know, from our perspective, from an ecological standpoint, a dam does significant damage to the overall ecosystem and blocks the flow of that ecosystem moving back and forth, which is so important.
Right.
Everything from sediment to fish to amphibians, it has a huge negative effect. And so a lot of what we do in the environmental restoration world is really undoing some of the first generation things that were thought to be valuable.
Right, right. And that's certainly what we're talking about in this case, at least, you know, from that particular perspective. So explain, especially to our listeners who aren't even from Racine and have maybe never laid eyes on the Horlick Dam, explain exactly where it is and from what point it can be seen.
The Horlick Dam sits in a northwesterly, southeasterly direction, right at the confluence of Rapids Drive, Highway 38, and MM, just barely in the city. That's actually Mount Pleasant, isn't it? It's kind of part of it is in the city, and part of it is in Mount Pleasant. So it's right there by Quarry Lake Park.
So when one is, for instance, heading to the Racine Theater Guild and making that turn, and then you look right to your left and you see what amounts to a waterfall.
Right.
So is that the dam, or is the actual dam someplace else?
No, that is the dam. I mean, that is the dam. What you're seeing that looks like a waterfall is actually the spillway to relieve the water pressure.
Can you explain more what you mean by that?
Well, you know, dams, some of the dams of that size were at one time thought to be flood control. And it's really not flood control. It's only been in the last 25 years or so that we've started to realize that dams do not control flooding. They impede water, they create an impoundment, and they create some flood storage, which is really water resource management than control. But once that fills up, the water has to go somewhere anyway. So the spillway is cut as a notch, and there are things called stop logs in that notch. That notch goes all the way from the top of the dam to the bottom of the dam. There are stop logs, which are really aluminum posts that sit stacked on top of each other to keep some of the water back but allow some of it to flow over also.
Hmm. So this dam that was built in 1975, what purpose then did it serve as far as you know? I mean, for what reason was that construction made?
There was that assumption of, flood control, plus the fact that more than anything, as Dave suggested, muscle memory. That's the way we always did it syndrome. Dam's been there. It's got to be there. And, you know, there was no consideration for what, if it should be there.
Right. You know. Understood. So when we look at that waterfall, then, is the dam itself slightly obscured from, is the dam itself sort of beneath the surface of that cascading water?
Yes. Several years ago, you could see the raw dam. You could see the raw concrete because the water levels were not as high, you know, and then those stop logs would allow a water flow so that the Root River could, continue to flow, and it always will at some point, but the water levels were not near that high. With the changing climate situations we have, the severe storm events, the amount of water that we're having to deal with, from upstream, especially from a development standpoint, more and more development means more runoff, pushed into the river and pushed downstream. So now the entirety of that dam face is obscured by the water flowing over it.
Interesting. Yeah. And especially right now, of course, with all the rain that we've gotten this spring, there's a ton of water coming over that.
It's created a lot of problems too. There's a lot of pressure. The dam was not built for the type of storms that we have nowadays. And you can see through various portions of the dam, you can see little leaks and things coming out, So there's some hazard there.
Right. I mean, some concern about it's the health of the dam. And we'll talk about that potential. So I think one of the things that is unclear to me is the level between what we see on the far side of the dam and then where the water goes. So when this dam is removed, will there still be a waterfall of sorts, or is that dam somehow artificially creating two different levels of the river?
Well, it's creating an impoundment that has depth to it, but only to the degree of what the height of the dam is compared to upriver if you look at the, above sea level. The dam is about the 700 feet above sea level, I think, the top of the dam. If you look upstream at where 700 feet above sea level is, that's just right at where River Bend takes the turn there on the Root River. I mean, that's the entirety of the area that the water can be affected. So what will happen is as that dam comes down little by little, the water level will recede to its original stream bed.
Okay.
Yeah. So it'll look like the downstream and look like the upstream.
Yeah, if I can just add to the, you know, dams were typically built for hydroelectric power in sections of the river where you had a good slope. So that's what's creating that energy. So when you go back and look around the country and look at dam removals, it's typically in these sections where there is a significant slope. And as Monty accurately described, the you know, the effect of bringing the dam down, really the effect to the riparian buffer and the floodplain generally stops near river bend. The interesting thing also about bringing down the dam from a flood control perspective is that it actually allows more flood storage now, because the river's always going to operate at its natural level now. And so you have that impoundment that's filled up some of the floodplain, and it generally stays full unless you've got some significant drought conditions. But once the dam's removed, you've got that, what I call an expansion joint, that now comes back, which used to be there. We're excited about that, certainly from a flood control perspective, but also that's new habitat that, as I said earlier, we're undoing what man did so we can bring back that natural habitat. That ebb and flow in the floodplain is so important.
For those of you just joining us, we are enjoying Kaylin Palomares' monthly visit to the program. We are talking today about the Horlick Dam and the removal of the Horlick Dam. We're going to talk in just a moment about the whole process by which this project has taken shape. Along with Kaylin, we have with us Dave Giordano, Executive Director of Root Pike Wind, and Monty Osterman, who is Chair of the Racine County Land and Water Conservation Association and also its state counterpart. And we'll be talking now about kind of this whole process. So, and I'm not sure who was involved earlier, but at what point did serious discussions first begin about the potential removal of the Horlick Dam, and what prompted those conversations?
Well, you know, like many of these big projects, oftentimes there's a lot of work and a lot of time put in before the public becomes extremely aware of it. This Horlick Dam situation, as far as the removal of it, started in 2010. We're 14 years into this.
Wow.
A lot of people don't realize this. There was an assessment done by the DNR, and Racine County received an order to rebuild the dam or tear it down, raise or repair. And so that said, and at the time I was on the county board, on the Public Works Committee. I spent a decade on the county board. And we set about trying to discover, you know, what the best route was.
So I understand. So when the DNR came in with this repair it or remove it, so I'm guessing that what prompted that was the state of the dam and the fact that if it wasn't repaired, we could be looking at a catastrophe.
Yeah, right. There are regular inspections of the, you know, of that infrastructure, and they started to discover that there were some issues, and it did not comply with 100-year flood requirement. So, you know, we set about at Racine County, I mean, looking at the options, coming up with, you know, with potential fixes, either to rebuild or replace. And interestingly enough, at the same time, we took off on this initiative with Root Pike Wind and 20-some other stakeholders to develop the Root River Restoration Plan for the entire Root River, 200 square miles, I think it is. Well, part of that was a study of the dam. And SewerPAC, Southeastern Wisconsin Regional Planning Commission, did that portion of it for us, along with a lot of the other plan, which ended up being about 1,100 pages. A significant section deals strictly with the dam. And they came up with basically five options. One was to do nothing. That's an option, but it's really not an option. And there were four other options, of which the removal of the dam was the most advantageous economically and ecologically. Hmm. And so it's that was in 2014 that was finally completed. That plan was adopted by Racine County and subsequently put into play, and that plan is referenced daily, you know, for the restoration of the Root River. So the information on the dam kept coming to light, and we had, through Root River Council, we had several other meetings about the dam, public meetings, public input sessions, and then fast forward now to last year when the Army Corps of Engineers did their study and it recommended removal as the main option. So in between time, there was some stuff that was done by the Dr. Julie Kinzelman and her crew at the health department in the city of Racine. They did a lot of testing, a lot of water testing, and they were studying portions of the river also. And they determined that, you know, through some of their testing, that removal of the dam would be more ecologically sound and beneficial. I think we have a health index score of 86 or something like that downstream and in the 20s upstream of the dam right now. So we know that that score will increase. So we've had, over 14 years, three independent studies that have indicated that the best option to deal with the river, to you know, remove the hazard, and is, and you know, control money, the money being spent on that, is the removal of the dam. Independently, we've had three different opinions.
I wanted to ask you about the one where there were the five options, and it was determined that the one that was ecologically and economically the most sensible was just the outright removal of the dam. And, I mean, we're going to explore more of the ecological thing in just a moment. How is it that economically that made the most sense?
Well, the one of the options was what they call the full notch, okay, where they leave the bridge abutments in but take it down up to the abutments, okay? And that was just as costly as the removal. Mm. It was the same. And you did not get the ecological benefits. You didn't get the fist patches. You didn't get the connectivity with that. So the other thing was, you know, rebuild it and build it bigger.
Mm.
In order to do that, you can't just, you know, plop some concrete on top. You can't just build up. You have to build the dam out also and increase the abutments. When we started looking at that, it became evident that Mill Road had to be raised. There was potentially a large section of the hotel that sits right next to it that would have to be taken out, so that would have to be acquired.
Mm.
And it just got to the point very early that the costs were, even just as a sketch cost, were astronomical. And so we didn't even go down that road because it was obvious that it was an exercise in futility.
Right.
So though they're economically, from a money standpoint, removal is better because we also had the option to receive grants. At that time, there was a $500,000 grant from the DNR for dam removal, and we could have taken advantage of that. Subsequently, the can was kind of kicked down the road for several years, and those grant opportunities went away. But if it would have been just a partial notch or a full notch, that entire cost would have been on the county taxpayers.
Ooh.
Yeah. So we would rather use grant monies available than, you know, to have to hit the taxpayers in assessment.
Right. So at what point, just to clarify, at what point did the decision ultimately get made? And was that decision by Racine County that we should go with the option of removal of the dam?
Yeah, there was a process that Root Pike Wind was very involved in with public engagement. And I'll let Dave kind of explain the public engagement part and how we got to the point where the county board voted.
Please.
Yeah, so one of the critical factors here, like Monty mentioned, is the economics behind what to do with the dam. And when I first came on board at Rood Pike Wind, 2016, we had a grantor ask us, okay, you're on board, what do you want to accomplish? And I said, well, you know, I kind of go big usually on this kind of stuff. So one of the big ticket items in the Root River plan is the recommendation to remove it. And so we began to have conversations with the Army Corps. The Army Corps actually has a whole division devoted to ecological restoration. Not many people know that. And as part of that program, they actually receive money from other entities like the EPA or NOAA and Great Lakes Restoration Initiative, things like that. So we actually were approached by the Fund for Lake Michigan, and they love the idea of taking that recommendation forward. And then when we started the conversations with the Army Corps, they also thought the project really would be a good one because it fits within one of their funding mechanisms called the Section 506 program, which is an authority dedicated to fish passage. So what's great about this particular opportunity with the Army Corps is not only the money, but you have the power of the federal government behind the project. And some would say, well, that's not necessarily a good thing. But in this case, you know, we've definitely found it to be a great thing because this division of the Army Corps, I mean, they're restoration ecologists, they're fish biologists, they're project managers. They know how to deal with this stuff on a grand scale. This is actually a small removal for them. They also provide the feasibility study, the design, and the public, the framework for public input. And so we kind of were a surrogate to them and sort of managed the space between the boxes, which is providing information to the public about the project. Dam removals typically are emotional things. In some cases, they are historic, and they have, you know, they still may have a lot of benefits. Those are more and more rare. The Horlick Dam has few benefits. And so what we did is we really worked hard to try to communicate the facts on these different upsides. The upsides we look at are really kind of the EPA model. They call it the triple benefits. Is it ecologically beneficial? Is it economically beneficial? And does it have a wellness factor? And removing his dam satisfies all of those criteria.
What do you mean by the third, the wellness thing?
Well, I'm a big believer in sense of place. That's why I moved back to the Kenosha Racine area. I just love it here. We're near Lake Michigan. We've got beautiful areas to enjoy. The sense of place is important. It makes you feel good. You want to get away, you go down to the beach, you sit and you watch Lake Michigan, or you go over to Petrifying Springs, or you do a paddle at River Bend. Those are all the recreational things that are involved.
So it's just kind of the warm and fuzzy aspect of this.
Yeah. I think it's actually a little bit more than just warm and fuzzy because, you know, it's fishing, it's paddling, it's bird watching, it's all those things that make you feel good.
Sure.
Yeah.
Very good. So once that whole process was done, then it sounds like Racine County gave the go-ahead.
Right.
At what point did that occur?
We had a date of 2024 to be done. Now, because of COVID and a few other things, we got into some extensions. Okay, and done meaning that the project to be done. Okay, so we've got some extensions, but it became very clear we couldn't kick the can down the road anymore. You know, there was no more road left.
Right.
And so, and it cost us. It cost us hundreds of thousands of dollars during that time frame in maintenance and repairs and things that we had to do to keep the dam going. You know, in between time, plus having lost some of those grant opportunities. So. About a year ago, the the county started pushing forward with, okay, we have to do something here. We have to figure out what to do. And through a process of collaboration with Kalen's department, my committee, and Dave's Root Pike Wynn group, which is a prolific group, by the way. They do a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And some interaction with some folks from Parkside. We seemed to be able to put together a team that could make sense of all of this.
Mm.
And so the public engagement portion that was led by Root Pike Wynn, the political portion of it and the process portion of it was kind of on our group, our portion of the group, and along with our department. And through that we had various public meetings, came to the point where there were special meetings, there were joint meetings with Public Works and the Land Committee, and there were also the Executive Committee. There were a lot of different meetings, many, many opportunities for public engagement. And at some point, a resolution was written, which came out of the Public Works Committee, the Racine County Public Works Committee, to recommend to accept the Army Corps of Engineers findings and the grant monies to take the dam down.
That was in April, I think. Is that right?
That started in March.
March, yeah.
But it took through April to do it because mm-hmm. there were, again, several public hearings, and it had to go to the Public Works hearing, then the Public Works Committee for a vote to advance it to the county board. There was another county board public hearing, and then two county board meetings where it was discussed, the first reading and the second reading. At the second reading is when the vote happened in April 9th, I think it was.
A unanimous vote, if I recall.
It was a unanimous vote, and that was very surprising because there were a lot of people who had numerous concerns, but to the credit of the team and to the credit of the Land Conservation Department and to the Public Works Committee, and especially directors, Riley Beam, he was full of information and absolutely able to help direct the county supervisors to get the right information. Everybody got their answers. Every question was answered. Every concern was dealt with. And in the end, they all saw the sense in taking down the dam.
Yeah. And I just mm-hmm. want to add, the pressure on the county board and the staff mm-hmm. and the county executive, Jonathan Delagrave, it was incredible because you had a lot of emotion behind this. And, quite frankly, there were things that there were perceptions about what would happen with this project that were just simply not true. And so rather than, we took the stand of, we're going to pound the facts. We're not going to pound the table. We're going to pound the facts.
Hmm.
And we did. And we got a lot of feedback from the county board about how they appreciated the facts that we presented to them. So they could kind of make good decisions and get through the fog of all of these sometimes wild accusations to just misunderstandings
sure.
about some of the things that were going to happen. And a huge amount of credit goes to the Army Corps, too. Like I said, they have a division that really is devoted to doing better for the environment, especially these environmental corridors. And so, all the information that they had to provide and the facts and the questions that they took. I mean, it was a pretty intense process. And I give credit to the citizens too that live along this area. A lot of the questions were really good, thoughtful questions about what's going to happen. This is their backyard.
Right.
We often took time to say we need to put ourselves in their shoes too.
Mm-hmm.
We're not backed up to these properties, to the river, and what's going to happen here. So we better make sure we got our facts straight before we really start to promote this project. And I'm proud of everybody involved, mm-hmm. not just the people that wanted it removed, but I'm proud of the citizens and the way they asked their questions and they wanted to step up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's difficult for a citizen to come forward like that, you know, sure, and to speak in public and to be open yourself for ridicule. Political people do it all the time. It's still not easy. But it was in the end, although at times it was a bit of a contentious process, it was a great process. I learned a lot from it. And I think that land and water resource management in general benefits from the credibility that a project like this creates.
So when exactly does this removal occur, and how long a process are we talking about? I mean, from start to finish.
Well, from a practical sense, the best information that we have is that it's a slow takedown. So the first couple of stop logs would come out, and then some water would be let go. The level of the impoundment would be reduced. Man, there was probably going to be some water testing downstream to make sure that dissolved solids, sediments, the O2 levels and things are all right. And then at that point, take out another one or two stop logs and repeat the process. I mean, we don't know how long it will take the water clarity and the water quality to clear up, once we take those first stop logs down. Some people are a little concerned about sediment downstream, but testing has shown us that those areas downstream are actually sediment starved. You have to have a certain amount for aquatic life, and so that will actually be a good thing for the river. Man, as long as there's no real heavy suspended solids, which we have done soil testing there of that the sediment that's behind the impoundment, there's nothing harmful there. Then it could take a period of 2 months, 4 months, 6 months. You just don't know until all the testing clears everything up. And once the lessons are out, then they'll schedule they'll have gotten bids by that time for the demolition portion.
So this other thing happens first, and then there's a demolition to take the rest of it down. So it kind of happens in two phases, and we're talking about months. And of course, we also should add that these are people who remove dams all the time, and so one assumes this is going to be done with care and caution and of course plenty of expertise. Once the dam is gone, do we know what the river will look like? And especially for those who live along the river, how will it look different? I mean, or in what will be changed? I'm not talking about wildlife coming back and all that. I just mean more like the dimensions of the river, the course of the river.
Right. That's a great question that we dealt with a lot, and rightfully so. So the project is scheduled to start late spring, early summer 2025. And once the drawdown has occurred that Monty's has explained, then again, the demolition on the actual concrete portion of the dam would begin. When that's done, or simultaneously, or kind of in parallel, as the drawdown is happening, then the Army Corps is seeding those banks that have been underwater essentially for hundreds of years, or over 100 years. And so as that drawdown occurs and as that seeding is in place, then the vegetation starts to grow back. And, we made it pretty clear that, we wanted to make sure that the native vegetation is a priority, and the Army Corps gets that. They had mixes and stuff already spec'd. The width and dimensions, were modeled in the sewer pack plan, and they're also, modeled in the Army Corps plan. So the river's definitely going to get more narrow, but that's how it used to be.
Right.
So you're essentially where you had those large floodplain areas where people always talk about the 100-year flood mark. Those areas are going to go back to being really the wetland corridor, the riparian corridor, which most often will probably be dry or damp. But when you get a heavy flood event, those areas are going to fill up. Like I said, it's almost like a tidal area where that ecosystem is dependent on the ebb and flow of water in and out of those areas. The most of that floodplain that's going to return to its kind of original function, that most of that land is actually owned by the county through you know, its ownership of the River Bend area and then
the park.
So the impacts, most of the impacts, the majority of the acreage impacted is owned by the county. It gets a little tricky when you work with the Army Corps because they are the federal government and, you know, they have to obviously abide by the fact that for the areas that are not public, that are owned by a private citizen, there's a lot of protocols that you have to go through, approvals, things like that. And it's kind of all or nothing with them. And I get it because, you know, some residents wanted all this additional restoration done. But in order for that to happen, they would have to essentially give that land to the project, which a lot of landowners don't want to do. And I get that. So all those conversations and all that back and forth with those citizens and the Army Corps, we're trying to understand the project at the same time, along with the county board members. I mean, in a lot of ways, it was drinking out of a fire hose. So all that said, we're bringing down this water level slowly. It gets vegetated. And then there's, I think it's like a three-year vegetative management sort of warranty, if you will, to make sure things are growing in place and growing correctly so we don't get erosion.
Right. And Root Pike Wind's involvement in that, I mean, you're obviously not placing dynamite and all that, but, I mean, your involvement is, I should think, pretty significant.
It actually isn't.
Oh.
This is the Army Corps project, and the client is Racine County.
So you giving input more than anything?
We are, I would call an ancillary partner.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the Army Corps Ecological Restoration Division. They know far more about this stuff than I do or our organization as a whole. So we're great at, I think, being that middleman from the communication standpoint.
Right.
And so we'll continue to serve that role.
Right. And of course, and because of the nature of this kind of restoration, it is something that speaks very directly to the mission of Root Pike Wind.
It does. And so much so that, you know, we were a big partner in trying to get the Root River Plan completed. And a big part of that is the Horlick Dam and the analysis. So we're pretty proud of that. And then the other part of it is, you know, I don't think people realize, and I didn't until I really put my nose into this, when that dam's removed, it opens 160 miles of tributaries of the Root River to new fish passage.
Wow.
I mean, that is amazing.
That's staggering to
you
think
know,
about.
We'll see salmon and pike running all the way up to New Berlin.
Hmm.
It's really pretty amazing. And like Monty said, the other, what I call the slam dunk is that, you know, we worked hard to write the grant, help the county write the grant to secure this Army Corps money. It's millions of dollars.
Hmm.
And so the county's share of this project is at present less than $300,000.
Wow.
Where to rebuild this dam is
millions,
if not close to $10 million.
Right. And of course, that would have to happen otherwise. I mean, you can't just let it be because one day it will fail and nobody wants that.
Right. And I think the icing on the cake here, forget about the environment for the moment or the wellness and focus on the economics. That's great for our taxpayers.
Yeah,
absolutely. You know, there's less money that goes to keeping this concrete dam that really has little benefit. And that money can be better used for other things.
In all kinds of ways. Great. Well, I appreciate you offering some clarity on all of this, and it'll be an interesting process to follow as we move forward. Dave Giordano, Root Pike Wind's Executive Director, and Monty Osterman, Chairman of the Racine County Land and Water Conservation Association, you added such valuable input today. I'm so glad that you were a part of this conversation as well. My thanks to both of you for being part of the morning show today.
Certainly.
Yeah, thank you. I'm actually excited, too. I can tell my kids I got to say damn on the radio.
Yeah,
there you go.
Well, Greg, we appreciate what you do, too. You bring so many issues to the public to discuss in a very real, meaningful way without political bias, and I appreciate that.
You're very welcome. Thank you. Kaylin, this was actually her wonderful idea, and I applaud you, Kaylin. Kaylin, I know you have a couple of announcements before we finish up.
I do, yes. So, of course, Hawthorne Hollow this weekend has their concert series, their first one of the year. So Box Band will be there tonight, Friday, at doors open at 5 and it starts at 6. It's $10 per person. Bring your own chair. It's an awesome bluegrass band, so that's really fun to see bluegrass out in the forest like that.
Absolutely.
So, it's also Father's Day weekend, if anybody doesn't remember that, because I know that's something that can be forgotten. So make sure you do something for your dad. So this weekend there's a lot going on. A lot of the kind of summer markets are opening up. So Kenosha Art Market is going to be this Sunday at Union Park starting at 10 a.m. And Pleasant Prairie's Harbor Market is also at 10 a.m. on Sunday out at Lake Andrea. So get outside, go do something.
Absolutely. Always a great idea. Thank you. Kaylin Palomares, we look forward to seeing you in the month of July.
Yes.
Very good. Monday on the morning show, you're going to hear an interview that I recorded with James Parker, a staff writer for Atlantic Monthly magazine. One of the things that the editors of the Atlantic asked Mr. Parker to do on a regular basis was to write an ode that would appear on the inside back cover of the magazine, and he did that for quite some time. Odes, that is sort of poems of praise in praise of various people, but mostly in praise of things and some very surprising things. An ode to procrastination, an ode to crying babies, an ode to advice columns. It's a really wonderful collection, which have been collected into a new book called Get Me Through the Next 5 Minutes, Odes to Being Alive. Next week, we're also going to be hearing from best-selling author Larry Tye and his book, The Jazz Men, which examines the lives and the legacies of Duke Ellington, Count Basie, and Louis Armstrong, and the way in which they really helped reshape American culture in some very dramatic ways. We'll also be hearing from nationally syndicated advice columnist Amy Dickinson, who began her advice column with the Chicago Tribune. It's been syndicated to newspapers across the country. Amy Dickinson is drawing her advice column career to a close. Her last column will appear on the 30th of June. And next week you'll hear the interview that I just recorded with Amy Dickinson, looking back over her long career. Also next week we're going to be hearing from the archives a memorable conversation with Linda Fleshinsky about a book of her essays. The morning show airs every weekday morning between 8 and 9 o'clock. You'll find the archive on our website, wgtd.org. Today's going to be sunny with a high of 76 degrees and our winds out of the northeast, 5 to 15 miles per hour. Mostly clear skies overnight, a low of 57 degrees. Sunny tomorrow, very much like today, high temperature in the mid-70s, I should say. On Sunday, however, under mostly sunny skies, we're going to be warming up to the upper 80s. And it looks like we will have rather hot conditions early next week and a slight chance of showers or thunderstorms each day. This is WGTDHD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva, NPR News and Classical Music on your